You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So it was our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. Therefore, we give you that telephone numbers. Numbers 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm going to have a brief monologue this morning. Then we'll jump right into the delivery of the conversation with the issue that I believe is pertinent today. By the way, before we get into that, let me just touch on a little thing that's on my mind. You know, the Democrats are in a state of dilemmification today. They've not been able to get a leak from the White House as to what President Trump is going to address tonight. I understand President Trump's going to be on the platform as he makes his speech with the heads of most all of the cabinet departments as he speaks. Now, the Democrats are certain in their mind that President Trump's going to talk about the stolen 2020 election. Here about 3 weeks ago, President Trump issued a notice that we now have 100% proof that the 2020 election was stolen. What he has, only God knows. I'm pretty certain that he has information he wouldn't have said that. But I think that the Democrats, based on some of the dialogue I've heard on the early morning Marxist media news, the Democrats that are in charge of some of the networks, the Marxist networks, they say they're not even going to run the live feed of President Trump's speech in case he talks about the 2020 election being stolen, and they do not want the information to be fed to the general public because of what it might do for the possibility of the election in November. So I'm amazed at what is taking. I'm thankful, by the way, there's not been a leak in the White House. Democrats have not been able to find out what Trump is going to say, what his major speech is going to be about. They know that it's serious. They know that somehow, some way, he's going to talk about the Iranian war. But they don't know what else. And as a result of that, they're dilemmified. They're frightened. They're concerned because they know that if he, of what I believe, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, as Amos said, I believe he's going to talk about instituting the Insurrection Act and have some type law enforcement, either ICE or the National Guard, at all elections across America. That's just my most humble opinion. I may be wrong, but I think that'd be very wise with what we see today, with what we know today about how the Democrats do not want the SAVE Act. And I've said for some time now, whether it's Democrat or Republican, if you love America, if you want honest integrity in elections, you'd pass the SAVE Act. But if you want to steal another election, if you want to lie about an election, if you want to undermine the election process in America, then don't pass the SAVE Act. And that's the position of the Democrats today. That's just my little pre-monologue footnote as to what I believe is going to take place in tonight's speech by President Donald J. Trump. Pray for him. Pray that God will continue to give him wisdom, protection, as he serves God. According to Romans, the 13th chapter, civil government is God's servant to prosecute evil and protect good. And I think that's what we're seeing to a large extent under the leadership of Donald J. Trump. I'm thankful for it. And again, I will do a little footnote. I'm not saying that he walks on water or that he wears a halo. When we elect a president, we're not electing Jesus. When we elect a president, we're not electing a spiritual leader. we're electing a political leader that has the wisdom of God to carry out the task of upholding our Constitution and carrying forth the laws thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we're talking about the enemies, plural, the enemies within. The enemies within. You know, it's a lot of times we talk about trying to prevent the enemy from getting in. I'm here to tell you that the enemies have been in America and growing for about 100 years. We're just now witnessing the fruit from the root that was sown, watered, and cultivated over the past 100 years. But I want us to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we have one basic book that has all the answers. It's the Word of God, the Bible. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, wonderful singular verse. "Thy word is truth." Thy word, doesn't say thy word contains truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God, the Bible, is a source book of truth. As we study the Bible, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we discover the revelation of God to man. We discover what God has done, is doing, and shall do. We discover the prophetic eschatological future of what God plans for this old world. It's kind of like looking at a mystery novel, and I don't spend time reading them. I just know the format. A mystery novel, you read, and it gives you all of the intrigue. In the last chapter, it's the whodunit. When we look at the Revelation text in the book of, in the Word of God, we find out the whodunit, if you will. We find out the wrap-up of what God is going to do in the future for this old world. I'm thankful that we can depend on the Word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." We don't have to worry about an update. We don't have to worry about revisions. We don't have to worry about something that's a mistake or an error. There are no mistakes in the Bible. There are no errors in the Bible. No contradictions in the Bible. I had an opportunity less than 100 years ago in Bible college. I was the old man in the class. Everybody else were young kids. And one young man would always, we'd go across the street from the campus stop at the coffee shop and have a breakfast or coffee. And he'd always be jabber, jabber, jabber about, "God told me this, God told me that, God told me the other." And finally, after being internally fed up with it, I put some slips of paper in my pocket. And next morning when we met at the coffee shop, he was saying, "God told me." And I pulled the paper out and I said, "Would you do something for me? Next time God tells you something, you write it down on this?" And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm going to type it, put it in my Bible to make sure my Bible's always updated. If God's telling you something that he didn't tell me, I need to know what it is." God's word doesn't have to be added to, modified, changed, or in any way rearranged. God's word is truth. But we live in a society today very much like George Orwell in the book entitled, dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual today. Although, according to the survey of about a year ago, the headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth." And yet, there's another major headline that I look at says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." And this article about the Western world being destroyed, Western society being destroyed without a commitment to absolute truth, goes on to talk about the three elements, the three major, if you please, groups that destroy truth. He says in this article, the media, government, and education. One little footnote to that says this. There's no such thing as serious problems than the notion that, and is fashionable in academia today, and has been for decades, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the problem. It goes back to Genesis 3, where Satan says, "Yea, hath God said." It's a challenge to God. for the truth of God. And God's word is truth. And if we try to bifurcate it, modify it, in some way correct it, we have a half-truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. That's the purpose. That's the intent of this broadcast each and every day, to focus on truth, whether it's embraced or not, whether it's rejected or not. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility and your responsibility as a Christian is to simply stand on the truth of the Word of God. This is the reason I've said for some time now, less than 100 years, I have simply said, everything that happens locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally, look at it, examine it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? We're now many people in a quandary. What's going to happen with Iran? I can tell you what's going to happen with Iran. We might tamp it down some. We're not going to destroy Iran. Why'd I say that? Ezekiel 38:39, very, very clear. Iran will be one of the nations that's alive and well and Islamically controlled that will follow with Russia to come against Israel to try to crush out Israel. And it will be the battle of all battles. It will be the battle where Russia leads. It is the, I believe, what I would call the Third World War. We're entering into different manifestations and portions of it today. It will not be, by the way, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not the Battle of Armageddon. How do I say that? Why do I say that? Because Ezekiel 38 and 39, after that battle, the war with Russia, Third World War as I would call it, you have 7 years, 7 months of cleaning up the dead bodies and the war machinery. That will not be taking place during the days of the millennial reign. Therefore, we find that the great final cataclysmic ultimate battle is the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, which is not the battle that's found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. For those that are studying eschatology and prophecy, just a little tidbit of information there. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? Wonderful question. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful as we analyze what's taking place in our world today. Listen, we're talking about the enemies within. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Give me just a few more moments on a brief finish up of the monologue. We're going to open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about the enemies within. Now listen, I want to set the record. I want to set the pace. I want to set the standard and give the baseline. I believe the ultimate enemy is Satan himself, manifest with the demons and the demonic control of so much of society. We're in a world today where we have Satan and his emissaries, the demons, that are in control of most of what is taking place in our world. Listen, I'm not diminishing the sovereignty of God. I'm not saying that God's not in control, but God is using Satan as his tool. Listen, go to the book of Job. Job is a perfect and upright man. I mean, perfect is mature. Mature and upright man. He fears God and eschews evil, the Bible says. And Satan says to God, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? It was God that brought Satan's attention to Job. And Satan said, sure I have. I can't get to him. You've got a hedge built around him. You take the hedge down, and he will curse you to your face and die. Well, you know the rest of the story. in about a 45-minute period of time, Job got the bad news that everything he had, friends, family, flock, finances, and all of his future, wiped out because Satan was able to get to Job because God allowed it. So I'm saying that what is taking place today in the world is a demonic, satanic movement. God is allowing it because God is sovereign and God is ultimately in control. But ladies and gentlemen, as we witness that, we're all aware of the fact, when you study the Bible, if you haven't studied, I recommend study the Bible about what's called the law of the harvest. In the biblical record of the law of the harvest, you sow the seed, you water and cultivate the seed takes root, it produces fruit, and you're going to reap what you sow. You're not going to sow peach seed and grow turnip greens. You're not going to sow carrots and grow squash. Whatever seed you sow, that's what you reap, but in abundance. So we sow to the wind, we reap to the whirlwind, the scripture says. So what we've done, what we're reaping today, listen, for about 100 plus years now, America has allowed the communist seed to be sown. We've allowed the Islamic jihadists to implant themselves in America. We have allowed the seed to be sown for about 100 years now plus. Listen, we've had the Communist Party USA for over 100 years in America. I've always had the question, why? Why do we allow it to exist? Why do we allow it to continue to fester and to be nurtured and to grow? The seed has been sown. The growth has taken place. Over a period of about 100 years, there's been the cultivating, the fertilizing, and the watering of that seed. That seed now has taken roots. It's producing fruit. And the fruit today, a lot of young airheads that have gone to the universities, prestigious universities, where the parents spend $125,000 to $200,000 a year for their degree program. They have sheepskin certificates to hang on the wall that they're proud of. But with that certificate, where they have a philosophical degree, that they can't go out and get a job painting a house with that PhD degree, and they're angry at the system, they're angry at the constitutional republic, they're angry at the capitalistic society because they cannot make what they thought they were going to be able to make. Therefore, the mindset is we need to destroy the system, we need to destroy the constitutional republic and burn it down, tear it down, and rebuild it into a Marxist communist system. Because they believe that somehow, some way, that's the only way they can get their proportion, their share of what they feel that they deserve. Now, how did that come about? Because we have sown the seed, the Marxist, communist, socialist seed in America. We've allowed it to be cultivated. We've allowed it to grow. And we've allowed it to take place with the communist professors coming in from Germany into our learning institutions, the higher learning. And they have lectured the students to hate God, to hate the parents, to hate the Constitution, to hate America, and to look at America as a racist nation that must be destroyed. And the only thing that's hopeful for America, according to the Communist Party, according to the Marxist agenda, according to the students now with the Marxist mindset, is to destroy the Constitutional Republic called America. The point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, we have today, that festering enemy within. I'm looking at a headline. Between the Declaration and the Communist Manifesto, only one will prevail. And this article goes on to talk about the Communist Manifesto, and it's about 12,000 words, and yet our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, that is about 1,320 pages, words, that is. There's a mindset that somehow, some way, we have to allow the two of them to coexist. This article reads, we have a choice between two conflicting worldviews, one of freedom and dignity, the other of regimented society based on submission to the ideology of a ruling class, the ruling element. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's some of the same Germanic fundamental foundations you find in Islam today, as also in the communist agenda. It is an impossibility. This article says, the struggle which is going all around us is a manifestation of these two mutually exclusive worldviews. That is communism and the Constitutional Republic, the Declaration of Independence. And that's two of them that will not coexist. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make in my introductory remarks and the brief monologue is that we have the enemies within. It's not a matter of saying, well, communism is coming into America. No, communism is in America. It's not a matter of saying Islam is coming to America. Communism is socialism, communism, and Islam is already in America. The socialist manifesto, if you will, the socialist, democratic socialist of America is something that simply cannot be tolerated, and it must not be tolerated. I'm looking at a headline says, the barbarians are inside the gate. We're fighting right now in Congress over whether we're going to maintain a status of constitutional republic or trade that in, dismantle the foundations, go down the dark road of the death to communism. Let me read that again. This is from Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The barbarians are inside the gate. We're fighting right now in Congress over whether we're going to maintain our status as a constitutional republic or trade that in, dismantle the foundations, and go down the dark road of death to communism. The gates are open. The enemy's already in. What will we do? How will we respond to it? You look at, time won't allow us, but simply I'll make the statement. We'll get to it later in the broadcast, if possible with time. And I'm looking at headline, Communism versus the Ten Commandments. The first commandment says God says that he is the only God. Communism says there's no God. But the communists say that the state is God. Second commandment, God says that we're to worship no idols. In practice, communism promotes the worship of idols. For decades, Russians have worshipped Vladimir Lenin, who forced communism on the nation. For decades, the Bolsheviks and the peasants have paid homage to Lenin in its hermeneutical sealed tomb. I have also witnessed the observation occasions of seeing some Russians even make signs of the cross on their abdomen as they paid visit and respect to Lenin. Command number three, God says we should take not take his name in vain. But communism says there's no God. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want us to understand today, and this is not the program, the broadcast, the show today, not designed to frighten, but it's designed to enlighten that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots might stand for truth, that we might stand up, speak up, be heard, be visible, be seen in these last dark days before the church is raptured out, before there's that sudden seizure, the sudden disappearance of millions across the world that have said yes to Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know about your thoughts, don't know about your theological doctrinal beliefs, but I'm here to tell you the Christian will not go through the tribulation. And I'm thankful to know that based on the biblical truth of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a matter of communism that's already in the gates. Islamic jihadism is already in the gates. There are those that are talking about what is happening in Europe. We'll talk about that during the balance of the broadcast today. Europe is now Islamified. Europe is now involved in and totally controlled by, about 99% controlled by Islam in all of Europe. London is 100% controlled by Islam as far as the leadership is concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said for 25 years, if you want to know what America will be like 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, at whatever point in time at the statement that I would make, look at what's happening in Europe. Because what is happening in Europe has come to the gates of America and now inside the gates. It was Garrett, G-E-E-R-T, Wilder, W-I-L-D-E-R, that talked about that some 20 years ago, warned America. America basically laughed at him. We have those that have been converted from Islam to Christianity that's coming out of Islamic Imam's background. And they warn America, warn the Christian, warn us of what the future holds if we do not recognize the dangers of Islam and embrace Islam. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's sad when we see. I've got four sons. They're all adults now with their own families, all love the Lord. One of our sons, the older son's already with Jesus. But I can say all four of them grew up understanding that the love of the Lord is the main thing that we need to do. They grew up recognizing and understanding that you can warn and warn and warn, and sometimes a child will disbelieve the warning. Sometimes a child will simply reject the warning. Sometimes a child just simply wants to put their hand on the hot burner on the oven or the range and just check out what you've said. I believe that's the stage we've gone through in America. The stage we've gone through in America with our political elitism has been that, no, I don't believe that Islam can control America. I don't believe that Islam can dominate America. I don't believe that an Islamic can get elected in America. Well, we've today, proof's in the pudding. We've got four Islamic House of Representative members. We've got the potential of two more in November, the potential of at least one socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic that could be elected in November, the midterm in the Senate. So they're in the gates. They're already inside America. The enemy is within the gates, within the walls of the United States of America. So let me just do a little parenthetical footnote for us to understand at this juncture. Perhaps you're saying, I'm frightened. Wonderful. That's a good stage to be at. But we need to be frightened about what's happening enough that we're going to depend on the Lord and ask Him to come in, divinely intervene in the life and the work of our nation to preserve us, to save us, deliver us from ourselves as a nation, because we have for so many years ignored the plan of God, ignored the Word of God, demeaned God's Word. We've banned Christ. We've banned the Bible. We've banned, in many cases, the flag. In fact, I was just recently mentioned on the broadcast several weeks ago that I've just been I've just discovered that at least two pastors in our city, maybe more, that have said that Christians have become flag worshipers because we are patriots and love the flag. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about those two elements. The two elements being the two enemies that are already within America. The Communist Manifesto, the Communist Movement, the Communist Party, the Democratic Socialist of America, as they call themselves, and one portion, a wing of the Communist Party of America, and the Islamics that's in the gates, that's now about to take control of major cities and a major portion of America, and their goal is control of all of America. I've got a brief clip that I want us to listen to as we close this top section of the broadcast today. The clip is from a former imam that is now a Christian and speaking to Christians as to what we need to do and what we need to recognize as Americans. Jonathan, play that clip for us.
Islam is not a religion, it is a political movement. Egypt was a Christian country and it was conquered by Islam. Yemen was Christian and Islam conquered it. Morocco was Christian and Islam conquered it. Iraq was Christian and Islam conquered it. For 1400 years, Islam has been conquering countries, and the next big dog on the list is America. And if the American church does not wake up, not in fear, but wake up to preach the truth of the Bible, you will lose this country. The devil wants America, but we want Jesus to reign here. If you want Jesus, you got to reject Muhammad. If you want the Bible, you got to reject the Quran. If you want the Ten Commandments, you got to reject Sharia law. If you want churches, you got to reject the mosque. You will either have Jesus or Muhammad, but you can't have both.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any clearer than you've just heard. We cannot embrace Jesus Christ and Muhammad. We cannot embrace the Islamic jihadist movement to slaughter everyone that does not bow and bend and submit to Islam. Cannot embrace that and embrace the Declaration of Independence, our freedoms, our Bill of Rights that we have in America. It's an impossibility, hear me, it's an impossibility to be a Christian and to embrace the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. It's an impossibility to be a Christian, a conservative, and a patriot, and embrace any portion of Islam in America. I believe it's time that we shut the gates. I believe it's time that we cease and desist any Islamic background individual from immigrating into the United States of America. I believe it's time to pass no Sharia law in America. That's what Chip Roy out of Texas is working on now, along with 48 other representatives in 29 states. No Sharia law in America. I believe it's time that we pass legislation like that. But listen very carefully. That passage of that legislation is impossible if we do not elect conservatives in the House and the Senate in November. This is the reason it's so important for us to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be prayed up, vet the candidates, and vote in November. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.